This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 1225. Avoid these IELTS Task 1 mistakes.
Welcome to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English, downloaded more than 22 million times with former IELTS examiner Jessica Beck and Aubrey Carter, the IELTS whiz. If you are stuck with a low score, our insider method will help you get the score you need to unlock your dreams. Get your estimated band score now with our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/myscore.
Today, you'll learn the biggest mistakes we've seen on academic and general task ones, so you don't lower your score like this on test day. Remember to take notes. Hey, Aubrey, how's it going?
I'm great. Jessica, how are you?
I'm fantastic. As we're recording this, because guys, you know, we record a little bit early. This is just after Halloween weekend as we're talking. And I went to 2 haunted houses this weekend and I had so much fun. I love scary stuff. My throat was sore from screaming and laughing because I do both of those things at the same time.
I know every time I'm in a haunted house, I'm scream laughing the whole time. Scream and then laughing and nervous giggling. Same.
Mine isn't nervous giggling, though. Like, I am pure delighted every time.
How scared you are. I love it.
I love it so much. Okay, I'll stop with that. Guys, if you want to tell us how delighted you are at being scared, if that exists for you, post on socials and tag All Ears English, and we'll look for it. All right. Now, that was a past announcement, but we also have a future announcement before we tell you about these 2 task one mistakes today, which I promise you might be making. Aubrey, what is our announcement for an upcoming amazing deal?
Yes, you guys, Black Friday is coming up, and like a lot of companies, we love to do a fun Black Friday deal. So we have something exciting coming up for you. You can check it out at allearsenglish.com/Black Friday. Jessica, let us know some of the details here.
So I'm not going to tell you guys everything because I really like creating this mystery for Black Friday. We did this last year too, and it was so fun. And guys, this year we have made this Black Friday bundle even bigger. There is so much stuff in here and it's all lifetime access. And the whole thing about my goal this year for you guys is to make time for English. That's why everything in here is lifetime access. Okay. So whatever time you will have the best materials. The value of all of the things in this Black Friday bundle is over $300. And if you get it on Black Friday, it's only for 24 hours, November 25th, you will save $137. Like, it's so much money. It's so awesome, you guys. So sign up, because it's only for one day that this is available. Sign up so we'll remind you, so you don't have to keep track. We will email you and remind you when it's available. Sign up allearsenglish.com/Black Friday. You do not want to miss this, okay?
I love that it's like amazing. A big savings, because that's the most fun about Black Friday.
Yeah.
It's like the best deals you can get, right? The biggest savings
just
of the year.
Mind-boggling.
Get excited. Yes,
it's so
fun.
Exciting. All right, so let's get into these mistakes. Now, these come from real student essays, right, that you've graded recently?
Exactly, right? So one of the services we provide is email essay feedback. So students emailed me these essays and I was able to provide with them with their scores, details, what they get on each score. And this mistake I've seen more than once, right? It wasn't just these essays. It's a pretty common mistake. So we want to highlight this. Like you said, Jessica, you guys out there are likely doing this and might not even realize it.
Yeah. And this first mistake is all about the tone. What vocabulary do you choose and how that impacts not just your vocab score for general training task one, but also the task score? Because tone is part of the task score. So the words you choose, right, impacts both of those scores, which seems kind of unfair to me, but that's just the way it is.
And what's really hard about this is depending on the topic, depending on who you're writing the letter to, the tone will be so different,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
If it's an informal letter to a friend or a semi-formal letter to a neighbor or a formal letter to someone you don't know, the mm-hmm. vocabulary you use, the way you say things, that tone is so different. So you can't just prepare for one essay and call it good. You have to be ready for these different tones.
Totally. And pay attention to that last part of the question, guys, because it'll tell you how to start the letter. Like it'll say, dear dot, dot, dot. That's usually to a friend, right? Dear Mike, dear Arnold. I don't think I've ever known an Arnold, but I like
Arnold
that name.
Schwarzenegger.
Yes. I write letters to him all the time.
All the time.
I want to write a letter to Arnie. Okay. So that's an informal letter, right? We choose slang. We choose idioms. We choose phrasal verbs. Showing interesting vocab, hitting the right informal tone. However, if the question tells you to begin the letter, dear sir slash madam, and Aubrey always says madame because she's a French lady.
That's true.
I love it. But if the question tells you to start that way, you know it's formal. Of course it's formal.
Exactly right. That's a really good hint, right? Dear sir slash madam, you don't know the name. You don't have a relationship with this person at all. At least they're mm-hmm. giving you that. They're telling you the tone here will be very formal. Now it's up to you to have the vocabulary to ask, you know, using sentence structures that are formal so that you can hit that tone.
Exactly. And before we tell you like the exact sentences that we're correcting for you guys to give you this fantastic example, I want to just quickly note here that most often saying you is informal, right? So when you're writing formal letters, you don't want to address that person directly. You need to do this. I need to ask you a question, right? Because that's often informal. So just switch that to the passive. Take out that you subject, right? So we're going to see that in the example as well.
Exactly. Okay, so let's dive into this. So this was the topic was about studying English at a school overseas. And the student did a really good job of providing two details per bullet point.
It looks like it.
And
yeah.
So their task response score would have been quite high. But like you said, tone affects the task response score. And I'm going to share.
So unfair.
It's so unfair. I know that they're all blended together. So two sentences that were quite informal, that are conversational, that are the way you would ask or say something more to a friend, at least someone whose name you know. And mm-hmm. if you're writing it to dear sir slash madam.
Dear sir.
Dear sir. Then it wouldn't be so informal, right? You would speak quite formally. You wouldn't say you, just like you said, Jessica. So the sentences would be different.
So let's just take this sentence by sentence. So here's the first question the student wrote in the letter, which brings me to my last question. Do you have rhinitis medicine offered in the campus clinic? So that's fine. Like it's fine. It's band score 6, fine, right? But if you're aiming for a 7 or higher, that's not hitting the tone. So again, even though it is fantastically specific, I love it for how specific it is. And like you said, it should deserve a higher task score because of that. The tone of it brings it down. So how would you say that differently?
Right. So this is the sentence I gave this student to like write it this way instead to hit the tone you need for a formal letter. Say, please let me know if rhinitis medication is offered in the campus clinic. Just
awesome.
Like you said, remove the you, right? Make it more formal.
Right. So make it passive. Instead of saying, do you have this? We change that vocab. We change that grammar structure. Please let me know if rhinitis medication is offered, right? There's the passive, is offered, parentheses by you, right? But we're not saying that in the campus clinic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. I love it. And so the second sentence we need to correct for you guys as a wonderful example, the student wrote, my doctor said regular rhinitis spray could alleviate symptoms when the seasons change. So again, like it's a fine sentence, right? We have alleviate symptoms. That's a fantastic phrase.
Yes.
But we can make it even better.
Exactly, right? Make it a little formal. You could change it and say, my doctor has informed me that regular, exactly, right? And the rest could be the same, but instead of saying like you would to a friend, right? Saying, oh, my doctor said this.
Right.
Just to change that to has informed me makes it Perfect. So much more formal. Now it sounds like something you would write to Yep. a college admissions person instead of something you'd say on the phone to a friend.
Exactly. So here's just one last general rule about this, and then we'll talk about an academic task one mistake. Anytime you're writing something, think about, like, am I writing like I speak? Then it's informal, because that's the advice we give for general training students, writing informal letters, right? To hit that tone, write like you speak, you know, use slang, ask direct questions, talk about how fantastic something feels, stuff like that, because that's how we speak, right? But in this case, this is a wonderful thing. Like, yes, that is something I would just say to someone. So I shouldn't be writing it in a formal letter. So
in fact, just really quick, this makes me think about, I feel like I've seen a very similar task one topic where you're asking a friend to give you advice saying, I'm going to go to the same school as you.
Yeah.
Tell me some, and they may have even practiced that informal task one and then just pulled over some of the same sentences.
That's true.
That's where you can really see, like, these would have been perfect sentences for that essay to a friend asking, you know, advice about the college and right? Mm-hmm. But when it's now to the admissions officer whose name you don't know, we need the sentences to be different to hit that formal tone.
Exactly. And again, guys, like, we're having high expectations for you. This stuff, this advice is for a 7 or higher, you know, because those sentences would be fine for a 6 originally, but that's not what you guys want.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's move on to the academic. Now, this mistake, oh my gosh, I have seen a billion times. Aubrey, what is this vocab / grammar mistake here?
Yeah. So we're talking about describing numbers, right, on your academic task one. And this, I agree. I feel like I see this more than any other mistake. And it is to mix up less and least, because they're not interchangeable, right? So lowest is the superlative of low, which we do use to describe percentages and numbers, but we can't do that with least. It's a little bit different here. We use it to describe adjectives and adverbs. So we'll tell you the mistakes we see, or a couple of examples of the mistakes we see in essays and how they should be written instead.
This is so tricky, you guys. Oh my gosh. Okay. so here's the first mistake, guys. Fresh coffee was the least percentage for both cities with these numbers, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Fresh coffee was the least percentage. We can't do that. We cannot use least to describe nouns, you guys. Okay. So that just sounds so wrong to my ears. And it sounds very wrong to examiner ears. And that mistake will jump out at examiners. It will be really hard to prove you deserve higher than a 6 if you're making a mistake like that.
Absolutely. So grammatically, you would need to say the lowest percentage, but we actually don't recommend that in Three Keys IELTS because that's such common low-band vocabulary. So boring to say the lowest percentage. Mm-hmm. So, and this will also help you avoid the mistake of lowest versus least, which I get the confusion there for a language learner. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounds obvious to native speakers, but why? Why are they different? What's, this is weird, right?
Those words are so close too. So I mean,
exactly.
So terrible.
Instead, use some band 9 vocabulary to describe these numbers.
Exactly. Exactly. The only vocab you can memorize for academic task one when you're preparing is the vocab to describe numbers, because you don't know what the topic's going to be. That's why in Three Keys IELTS, we give you so much number vocabulary. So instead of saying least or less or lest,
you definitely don't say less.
Least,
lest we forget.
Less, lowest, so many words. Just don't even say them. First of all, they're boring. Second of all, you might make mistakes. So don't even bother with those words. Instead, say something like least impressive, least remarkable. You could say meager or paltry. Those are the two adjectives I love for numbers, for low, low numbers, meager or paltry.
Yes, exactly. Right. So we have one more example, very similar, where it's just, however, the least quantity of drinks. Same problem here. And this is where it especially gets tricky when you're using words like amount, number, quantity. It's a little tricky to know. Do I say lowest? Do I say least? Again, right?
Don't say either.
Don't use any of those, right? Instead, the most paltry quantity of drinks. Suddenly, band 9 vocabulary.
Sounds so good.
Whereas lowest, least, not only is your grammar score going down, but you're not getting the vocabulary points you need.
Exactly. So last takeaway to remember here for academic task one, guys, is you need this excellent vocab, and you're only describing the most extreme numbers, those key numbers. So you're always going to be using like most, right? The most meager, the most paltry, because you're only describing the lowest, the highest numbers. So make sure to just put that in your notes, guys, and take out less, least, lowest, just take those out of your vocab.
That's such a good bonus point, right? If you find yourself writing things like was unchanged, this number was unchanged, or, right, you know, changed only slightly. Think about, should I be including that number?
No, you shouldn't.
No, you shouldn't.
Nope, no, you shouldn't. All right, guys. Yeah, this is such a beneficial episode for your task one scores, guys. Remember, if you want our complete system of advice, go to allearsenglish.com/KEYS to get our online course. And Black Friday is just in a few days from now, you guys. So sign up and we will remind you when this incredible bundle is going to be released. Sign up allearsenglish.com/Black Friday and we will tell you as soon as you could get this package. Again, everything in this package, there's courses, there's vocab, there's everything. Everything here is lifetime access, guys. So make time for English this year, next year, 2023. This is a goal. Improve your English. So sign up allearsenglish.com/Black Friday.
Awesome. Yes. Sweet. This is really fun, Jessica. I'll see you next time.
As always. All right.
As always.
Bye, Aubrey.
As always. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to IELTS Energy. Hit subscribe now and don't forget to find your estimated band score at allearsenglish.com/myscore.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.